Welcome to the Everyday Game Changers podcast. You will hear from everyday people in business, music, community, and more who are changing the game. And now your host, marketing expert, and personal branding specialist, Varian McQueen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Everyday Game Changers podcast. I'm your host, Varian McQueen, and you know how we do each and every week, talking to game changers in business and music, community, and more. And today's guest definitely fits in the music category, all things music. I got Sky Monroe in the building. How are you?
What's up? What's up?
Sky Monroe in the building. Live studio audience. Yes.
I'm here.
You was on time. You know we bet on the guests.
How late did you think I was really going to make it?
We didn't bet today. We was leaving the restaurant and we didn't bet. And when you called me, I was like, it was like.
I thought I was going to be really
7:57. I'm like.
Miami traffic.
Right on time. So professional.
Yeah, right.
I appreciate
it. I spent right here.
Did you?
I did.
I was like,
but
man.
I made it.
We here though. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm excited to have you.
Thank you.
You don't know what we're going to talk about today?
I have no idea, guys. I'm a little scared.
You scared?
But I've seen your podcast. You have really great questions.
I'm friendly though.
Yes, you are. You don't bite.
Nah. So give me like, for the people who are not familiar, give me a little bit of like your introduction into this like music space. And then you got to give me how you come up with the name Sky Monroe.
Oh, God. That's so soon. But it's a good question. A good question because actually that was a new phase of my transition. So I'm definitely going to get to that. And I love that I'm going to get to tell that story.
Yes.
So I'm Sky Monroe. I'm a singer, songwriter, and producer. I started as a singer from very young, doing auditions, talent shows. I learned how to play the piano by ear because of my dad. Eventually started writing poetry, mixing up the syllables into music, and the rest is history. I'm like, oh my God, I think I write music.
That's dope.
Started visiting studios at the age of 14.
Wow.
And as you know, you've done music, you do music. We just kind of hop from studio to studio and you start meeting people and word of mouth and did you check out that girl? And that's kind of like how I've made it, like how I made it to where I'm at right now, just going from studio to studio, working with different people, taking every opportunity that I can.
That's dope.
So I'm currently with Universal Music as a writer and I'm independent as an artist. So everything y'all see I drop is by me.
That's interesting. So why that's interesting is because as a writer, you're signed, but you as the artist are free to do whatever you want.
And it's amazing. No pressure. But it's still tough.
I was going to say, what's your take on independent versus major?
My take is, for one, you're keeping your masters. You're keeping your money. So, a gem.
Got it.
I got to look that up. I didn't know that before. I didn't understand how important that was. As a songwriter, as also a publisher, I didn't mention that I'm also a publisher. That's actually how I'm signed. I'm co-published.
Fire.
You have the control to work with whoever you want.
Yeah.
Your creative space, you can say, do, look, sound, everything is up to you.
That's fine.
But my take on, it depends on your goal. If you want to be massive, you need money behind you. That's the reality. You need a label. If you're in for it for the passion, if you want to take your time, if you respect your art and you're very creative, I think it's good to kind of take your time, not sign things, not sign your life away, and be independent and supplement. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is still have other plans and goals financially, right?
100%.
Because obviously music doesn't pay right away. But not quit,
Right.
Not say, oh my God, this is too hard.
Right.
It's still a business. It's still something that you can, revenue off of.
Yeah.
So, but that's my take. It depends. If you want something huge, you want to be massive, you got to be out there with the labels. You need a label.
So for me, like I have this weird perspective because when I was a signed artist, I was a disgruntled artist, right? I don't like nobody telling me when my music could come out and, oh, that's a mixtape. That don't count towards your album count, right? And I'm like, man, that's 30 songs on that mixtape, right? But then as I got older and I started, consulting for Def Jam and, A&R and some projects, I understand the labels a little bit now, right? Like, yo, signing artists is risky.
Yeah.
they could just wake up tomorrow and say, I don't want to do this.
Yep.
And all the money that's been invested. So like that aspect, when people come to me and they like, Baron, like, you know, do I do the record label thing? And I'm like, look, at the end of the day, the perfect record deal would be you put up $100,000 and they put up $100,000. And if this was the record deals that was being given out, there would be a lot less musicians trying to
do. I feel like if we were more educated on how the bank system works.
100%.
Loans. 100%. Your own money. Like, yes, okay, not your own pocket money.
Yeah.
But you own that advance.
Of course.
You're technically not paying, you know, you're kind of paying back on your own terms. And you're able to invest that money and allocate it where you want.
Right.
Opposed to the label writes down the terms. Here's where you're putting your money. And then this is what you take home. And of course, it still seems like a lot at 19, at 20, at 21. Yeah. Once you hit them 30s, you're like, I don't know about all this, you know? Like, you've learned a lot more financially, all those type of things. But that's my take. I tell a lot of people, it's great to be published because you're put on a platform where your music is being heard by bigger artists. Right. If you want to place bigger, you know, 100%. With bigger artists or more mainstream artists. But at the same time, for me, there's other reasons I took that deal.
Yeah.
If I really had to do it again, I would have just been on my own.
Really?
Yeah, because I was already publishing. I was already placing records before I got signed.
Got it.
But for me, at the time, it's what worked and what made sense. And I'm happy and I'm grateful I made that decision because if I'm visible today, if you've seen me online, a lot of it has to do with everything that I've learned and the platforms that they've created for me.
That's dope. So
shout outs to Universal. You know, they've been good to me and I'm here now.
Universal was my second deal.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So my first deal was Epic Records. I was 18. I think who was there at the time? Charlie Walk, a couple of those guys. But at the time, there were no rappers really signed to Epic Records.
Mm.
There was me and there was Young Berg at the time. They had Sean Kingston. They had Kat DeLuna.
Okay.
It was like this was pop was the lane.
Oh, wow.
And
you took it back.
My label mates at the time. So I was like, oh, that's the direction. And they was like, you know what, Baron? You didn't spend none of the budget. You free to go. We thought we was going to try this hip hop direction. And, you know, the A&R that signed you, he don't work here no more. And we got to stick what works. And yeah. I was just like, oh.
Well, you were smart about it, at least.
For me, it was just like, when I presented myself to labels, I wanted to be like the one man band, right? So I'm like, yo, just put me in a studio and let me work.
Mm-hmm.
I can engineer myself. I literally would push the record button and run to the booth and do my own stuff, right?
Tell me about it.
Producing my own records, right? Writing my own stuff. Because when I signed, they started assigning all of these people to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, who? They're like, oh, this is Kathy. You know, she's going to get
this. That's budget, too.
Right?
We don't know that.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
So I go home and, you know, I'm just blinded by the champagne in the boardroom and like, yo, welcome to Epic. I'm like, yo, where the chains at? Like, and then I got home and I'm like, I hope I'm not paying for all of those people I met today. And from that day, I was just like, look, if y'all going to book my studio time, I built my own studio. I'd rather invoice y'all and y'all pay me back.
Yep.
For my studio time. So when I was leaving labels, I never have no disgruntled.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they was like, oh, this kid's too smart.
Yeah. That part.
This kid's
That's
too smart.
That's another thing.
Yeah, they like, nah, man.
They don't mess with the too smart.
No.
Because it benefits them. It's like anything else. Yeah. And sometimes you almost have to play it dumb a little bit.
Mm.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's okay to still get help and, you know, have a team.
Yeah.
But the problem with, I feel, being labels and you're not educated is you don't know what's going to who.
Exactly.
You don't know how much percentage. A lot of times if there's no upfront cost for this engineer, sometimes they might get points depending on how much they were involved in that song.
Exactly.
And then if we translate it into money, if that's supposed to be recouped and your song is selling and it's being split by 20 people pie.
The last penny that gets
distributed. That's it. No, your money's coming from endorsements, sponsorships, and tour. You ain't get money from those records.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you don't own the masters. Mm-hmm. So you'll never get money for those records.
That's the part that I'm seeing now. Like, I've been in some of these Def Jam meetings recently, and these artists come in, and they like, I ain't signing unless I could keep my masters. And I'm like, sir, can I pull you aside? Let me break this down. You don't have no leverage to come in requesting your masters. Nobody knows you yet.
Yeah.
This is the machine. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just looking, like, I think literally last year, Rick Ross just became a free agent.
Oh, wow.
After 10 albums.
But he sold a lot. But
he's now in a position where he can negotiate whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But nobody's first deal is a good deal.
Yeah.
It's not meant for you to.
Remember what I said. It's the goal. If your goal is,
yeah,
you know, like you said, if you no one knows you, you got to give up a little bit of your masters. And that part, there's an exception to that. You got to give and, you know, take
100%.
A little. But at the same time, have a lawyer, have someone that understands who can explain to you, you know, because that
part.
Money they're giving you, that advance is
that's the tough
you better
part.
Learn how to stretch that.
That's the tough
you know,
part.
So that's the part that I, when I run into, especially younger artists, and artists who look up to me or admire, like, I want to do it just like you, I want to do this. I'm like, take your time, put a record out at a time, and just learn the business and get some mentors, you know, and really ask questions and don't spend your personal money. I've learned a lot from that. We've all been there, but I've learned a lot from that too.
I just put on Instagram the other day, I found this picture so I used to do my own touring, right? I was big.
That's dope.
Like, I grew my audience through colleges.
Okay.
I was always booked for the homecoming concerts or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I wrapped this Chevy Uplander van, my face real big on the back. And every weekend after work, we would just hit a different city.
That's so dope.
Van, right? So I put it up on social media the other day. It was like, yo, I've invested over $100,000 in my music career and haven't seen a penny back. How much money are y'all new artists investing into your careers? And I'm just like, yo, it's crazy. But it's not about me.
But can I tell you something?
Talk.
Wait, I'm happy you brought that up.
Talk.
Because I also don't want it to be so discouraging.
Yeah.
I think because we have to be honest with people. It's not to discourage y'all, but it's just to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
I did music for, I'll say, like, maybe 10, 12 years. Like, when I say did, it's like, I'm sending music to everybody, you know, but labels, because I didn't have connections like that.
Yeah.
But I had people who knew people, knew people. And all of a sudden, you know, I started dropping records, Latin records, a couple of years ago, and boom, Universal opportunity came up. There was also another opportunity with E1.
Fire.
I would have been basically the face, like, Latin face of that division.
Really?
Didn't take that, decided to take Universal.
Interesting.
But I could say that to me, that was when I got paid back. Like, that was my reward, that I stuck with everything. And of course, we all get advances, but at the end of the day, if you're still going to work hard,
you're
paying that back. And not just that, you're getting a platform. You're getting opportunities to get in these rooms with these 100%. Artists that you dreamed only some will dream forever to be in.
100%.
So I can't even say that. Obviously, getting advances is a bad thing.
Yeah.
It was an investment. I bought equipment with it. I was able to, you know, pay off debt with it. You know, stuff that I couldn't create with those things in my head. So there are steps, but it took me, you know, several years to get there.
Yeah.
But I hustled. Like, when I say I have sleepless nights, you know that.
Of course.
Oh, I got to travel all the way from here to here. I got to pay my own plane ticket. I got to go sleep on the floor of a studio. I got to, trust me. I've been
the
there. So I'm happy you mentioned it. Yeah. You got to invest in your craft.
100%.
In every which way. I remember even driving one time to it, all the way to Atlanta again. No, we didn't drive. This time it was a flight. We paid our way into a conference for CSAC. I wasn't even with CSAC.
Oh, snap.
But I'm with ASCAP. But for me, it was like
more
like.
Team ASCAP. Thank you to all the BMI people to asking me why I'm ASCAP. Team ASCAP in the building. Go ahead.
Team ASCAP. And Team ASCAP Latino. Because they've, you know, they've looked out. And they look out for me not just from the writer's side. They find opportunities as an artist as well, which I think is really dope. Yeah. No, whatever comes up, artists, whatever it is, they're very good about that. So
I want to ask you something. I was riding with one of my colleagues, D, earlier, and she was kind of hitting some notes in the car. And she made a comment and said,
I thought you meant music notes. I said,
no, really?
Oh, some music notes.
Yeah, music notes in the car.
I need to find out.
And she made this comment and said, how do I know if I can sing or not?
Oh, that's so cute.
So I was like, well, find a song you really like, sing with it, and we're going to turn it down and hear you sing it without the record.
Did y'all do that to her?
No. But I want to ask you, how do you know, like, I got something? I mean, like, at what moment is it like, okay, man, I actually can hold
that's
a note.
A
I can
really re- good question. Sing. Like, when did I find out?
Yeah. Because you started young, so as a young kid, everybody's like, oh, you know, my baby can sing. But when do you know, like, oh, I actually can sing?
I put a post out a couple of days ago where I said, even the haters will see the power in you before you do. Mm. Right? So you create haters even when you don't even know it.
Right.
Right? That's why a lot of people, too, I think, get discouraged going into the business, because people already, they're already trying to sink you when you're just trying to get in, you know? But you have to know. So I think, obviously, family is the first people that are going to tell you, oye, niña, cállate, you don't, tú no canta pa nada, can't sing for nothing. Because especially Latinos were very honest. So family, obviously, and then your friends. But I remember that I started singing in front of my friends in fourth grade.
Okay.
And I remember even this real, real raspy girl, her name was Natalie. It's crazy. Like, she was like singing like this, but she could do these crazy runs. And I said, oh my gosh, she's so dope, right? And they would want me to sing every day after school program. I was in an after school program every day. And I'm like, okay, I must be this good if they want to hear me sing every day.
Fine.
Around that time, my dad was doing valet parking. Like I mentioned before, he started valet parking in New York, which is really, really big. And there was an opportunity for an agency to develop new talent. He made me sing a cappella. I was only 9 years old.
Wow.
I sang Mariah Carey, I Can't Live Without You. Like, okay. I was an old soul from very young.
Horror songs, though.
A cappella. He didn't take the tape on purpose. That's another story in itself. But that day I sang in front of, I think, at least 300 people in the room. You had to sing in front of all the people who were going to audition. Mm. The guy, when I walked up to the front, he goes, play, where's your tape? He's pressing the press button, the play button. And I'm like, I don't have my tape. My dad forgot it. He's like, all right, go ahead. No, I can't forget this. And I'm singing this at 9 years old. You hear everybody, oh
snap.
And that's how you know.
At nine.
That's how you know. It's either boo or it's.
You hear that, right, D? So we're going to put a little audience together.
So that was, for me, one of the first experiences. And then one of the most interesting things about, you know, music is stimuli. Like, it really stimulates your brain, your heart, your health. It's crazy what it does to your body. I even get chills sometimes when I sing.
Really?
I know when I suck, and then I'm like, ooh, I hit that. I did that note, you know, and I'll get chills. But I think it's the way I'm connected. But that's when I truly found out I was good. It was the first time in front of people. And, you know, that was a very brave thing to do, because I had never sang even in front of 10 people.
And that's a tough record to sing.
But I was always singing, even though I'm Colombian.
Yeah.
And I listened to salsa and cumbia and all these things growing up. My heart, my love has always been R&B.
Really?
So I was forever singing Boys to Men, All for One, you know, back in the day, Mariah Carey, Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, all these people. And I guess that's what, because I was challenged with all these vocals, singing a cappella was nothing to me. But I was very shy still. I still am very shy, believe it or not.
No.
I swear I'm still very shy.
I don't get that. You're shy?
I'm very shy. And I'm a clown, and I'm an artist, and I'm a performer. But I have my moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm scared. Hey. Everybody has that. You know, everybody has that moment. Because we want to be good for you guys.
Got it.
You know that.
So, Sky Monroe. Mm-hmm.
That's a big name.
It's just like, why? What? How do you put Sky Monroe? It just sounds famous already.
Okay.
But talk to me about.
Sky is a big name.
Yes.
Right? In 2023, I think it's a very popular name.
Yeah, it's big.
A very millennial name. I'm a millennial.
Sky Monroe, though. How do you.
Monroe. So, first of all, Sky comes from. Let me go back a little bit. My artist name was Sin for a very long time.
Really?
Yes. People knew me in the industry as Sin, and I was signed as Sin.
Huh.
C-Y-N. Like Sin Santana?
I was thinking like...
Not Sin, S-I-N.
Yeah, S-Y.
I'm a God side.
C-Y-N.
Guy. Yeah. C-Y-N, short for Cynthia, which is my first name. Huh. The real name. That bland name I was telling you about.
I'm just thinking, I'm feeling like I've heard this name before, though, Sin. Throughout the industry. Before Sin Santana stuff, but...
So, Sin, with that name, I work with a lot of people. Hmm. And one of the records I remember doing, it was even on Worldstar a long time ago, was with Mims.
Mims.
Yeah, that's my buddy. That's my one of my really good, that's my brother right there, Mims.
Wow.
We did a song called Mr. Taboo. And it was even out on Worldstar back in the days. Crazy. Crazy story, we put it down because the situation that I was in was not a good fitting situation. So I said, put that down. I don't want to walk away from it. It was really hard last several years. Mm. And I lost my mom in 2010. And thank you. And it was really hard dealing with that because she was my number one fan. She was the one, everything about me. Wow. Going to the shows, buy me whatever I needed. You know, she was just always there. And I kind of lost myself. Like, I didn't know who I was as an artist anymore because I was still trying to figure myself out without her. She suffered from depression really, really bad. And for a long time, we as, you know, as family, we kind of feel guilty. Like, we could have stopped it.
Right.
So I didn't even realize I started caving in. Like, and even as an artist, I started caving in. I wasn't the same anymore on stage. I didn't see her. So I didn't know what to really look forward to. And but here's the thing. I didn't know I was feeling that way.
Right.
Like, I didn't know I was going down that route. And then a few years ago, and I'll probably say, like, maybe 2017, 2018, something just hit me. And I had given up on music completely. I was actually, like, working at a 9-to-5 job as a director somewhere. I'm not going to mention the name. This is not necessary. But it was a great job.
Right.
And I was making over 6 figures.
Wow.
I was doing really good. I was even thinking about going back to college. Okay, this is it, you know.
It's a new start.
I get a phone call. And this has something to do with the name, so I'm getting there. I get a phone call. Hey, Sin, we got a placement. I haven't done records in, like, 2 years. Like, with who? Oh, it's a record for the World Cup, 2018 World Cup.
Wow.
Fast forward, you know, because it's a long story. The song gets placed for a really big artist, gets it into the World Cup in Russia, because, you know, back then it was in Russia.
Wow.
And I'm like, music always calls me back. I can't let it go. It's like a toxic relationship.
I feel that way.
And I had to. I'm like, I got to go back. But if I go back, I got to reinvent myself. I got to do it different this time. And I started having, this sound crazy, y'all, but it's the truth. I started having revelations with my mom.
Oh, snap.
And I was actually, for a very long time, the only one having dreams of my mom. Mm. So my mom's passing was self-inflicted, and it was very tragic. And I know everyone has a story about, you know, a death, and it doesn't make it more harder than yours or more important than yours. But my weight, the tragedy that I had, the trauma, it wasn't letting me push through. Like, it was something was holding me back. And I said, I got to let her go. Like, I got to just understand that that's the way it is. And I need to start living. And she wasn't here in vain. She didn't support me in vain.
Right.
She would want to see me thrive. And I got to do this for my family. So I'm just going to dedicate this new round to her. Her name was Cielito, which means sky in Spanish. So I changed my first artist name to Sky. And I said, but I need something iconic. Like, what did my mom resemble? And what would a woman, like, who would she look up to? And of course, we all look up to Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
But what I loved about Marilyn was how honest she was.
Yeah.
Like, with us females. Like, everything she wore, she did, she said was so still raw.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to be that girl that can relate to every girl. If I'm rocking my J's, my Adidas, if I don't want to do my hair, if I'm depressed, I still want to show up.
Fire.
If I'm sad, if I'm happy, if I'm confused, I'm here. And that's what I want to teach my young king, you know? Shout out to Xavian. So I said, you know what? I think a good example of someone that I can kind of mesh it all together is my mom was that warrior. Like, she was like a Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
So Sky Monroe, put them together. And a year later, I got signed to Universal.
Wow.
And I'm making that story short.
The reason I'm listening to your story, right? My dad committed suicide.
Oh, God.
In 2009.
Wow. This is crazy.
And I had the same dream every night. I'm the only one that had the same dream every night. And every time I would get, he would come to the foot of my bed. And every time I would ask him, why did you do what you did? I always woke up. This is for a year straight. So just listening to you tell this story about
those
you
dreams are so important.
Yeah.
They're so important because they know how we listen. Come on now. Like, it's our parents. They know us more than anybody. And the first dream that I had of my mom, and she's a very important part of the story because, again, the name comes from her.
Yeah.
But just the what's the word I'm looking for? The tenacity? Is that the word I'm looking? Like, just the bravery, the courage to say, my mom committed suicide. I'm not her.
Yeah.
I'm not bipolar. I'm not depressive, you know? Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people are also under the premise that because that happened, I got to go that route.
Right.
I've never had that feeling, you know? But we have our ups and downs.
Of course.
But I needed to really let go and understand, hey, you wouldn't have changed it. That was ordained. That was the way it was written. It's okay. You can move on and be happy. And
wow.
But one of her dreams, the first dream after she passed, because everyone dressed in white to welcome her into her new life, right? Mm. That's a new life. At least that's what I want to believe. Right. And I can't wait to get there. I'm going to be real with you. Course. I can't wait to see what's on the other side. But she shows up. I'm playing the piano. My sister's behind me. She's next to me. She's like this on an upright piano because I have an upright piano. And I just stop. And she's like, why'd you stop? And she was so upset. She was very feisty too.
Wow.
That's where I got it from. And I'm like, mommy, I'm sorry. Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
That was one of the first dreams. One of the more recent dreams, right before I changed my name, in the process of changing my name, she was pregnant in the dream. And all you could see was a silhouette of like flowy dress and all you see. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, what other way can I interpret but the rebirth of my career?
Wow.
The rebirth of who I am.
That's fire.
And I get chills because that's my story and I love it.
It's so crazy because as I'm listening to you talk, I felt I had a guilt for a really long time because I think my dad committed suicide on a Wednesday, but we had planned all week to go to TGI Fridays on Friday because he just loved these Long Islands. And he's like, yo, we're going to do our Long Island thing.
Those are so bad. I can't do Long Island. Yeah, oh, my God. So, how did he do it?
So that was so our strange thing. We were just Friday, we're going to go to – and he called me like earlier in that week to confirm that we was good for Friday. And I didn't take the call because I was like busy.
Oh, God. I know. I know the feeling.
So I played that voicemail back. Like,
oh, God.
Like literally went to the studio and I'm like, I need you to record this because this is the last thing me hearing of
him. Yeah, this is history in the making right now.
Yes.
Because I feel something very powerful about this conversation. I'm going to say right now, mark this day. Something special is going to come out of this.
It's difficult. So it's like people don't understand. They're like, yo, Baron, how can you be so comfortable talking about this? And I'm like my sister, she tells everybody, oh, you know, my dad passed. It was, you know,
you say 2009. Right before me.
Yeah. And that was just like, I'm like, yo, I have to talk like this because I don't know who can't.
Yep. Talk and who's like this. Watching and who you can stop.
Yeah.
You know, but most importantly, it's good therapy because 100%. I was also about to pass away. And I do just say self-inflicted because for some people, you know, it's a subject that for young people, if they're watching, I don't know if they know what that means yet, but I'm happy we talk about it because even when you don't know what that means, you know the feeling.
Of course.
There's 8 years old out there, 8 year old, sorry, that know the feeling, but don't know what it's called.
Right.
And this is one of the movements, one of the things that I'm now doing, that I'm going into. It's a, like I said, we have to be courageous to talk about it and be a part of that community. Yeah. But I think that we have to go in there knowing we can't save people.
Right.
We can only inform them and educate them and give them a better platform to speak on it, to share their feelings.
Yeah.
But a lot of individuals already come with so much trauma, so many, you know, so much past and other things too. Like there's also chemical imbalances. There's things that happen that you don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
That leads me to another subject because there's a lot of FDA approved things that I'm not. But we'll have that conversation another time because I'm very.
So for me, I was really like for a really long time I was angry. And I was like, how selfish could you be? You got a wife, you got a kid. And then as I got older, I became a lot more empathetic to like, you know what? I could see how one day somebody could say, yo, this is too much.
It's more powerful.
And I just, my whole perspective just shifted. And I like, after I let that just go, it's been like such a, my own weight that I was just like caring for what, why?
And it's hard to get there too.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, okay, I understand what you did.
Yeah.
Did you know about his challenge? Did you know that he was having issues?
No clue.
So I've been seeing episodes since I was 4 years old. And my mom is bipolar. Was. bipolar. Well, I just
found this out recently, though.
What?
I've learned more about my dad since he's been passed.
Wow.
Because when I look at what our relationship was, I'm like, man, you know, we really never got deep. It was very surface.
Okay.
So now
but
that
we had a good relationship.
We had a good relationship. Okay. Like, I mean, let's be clear. My mom raised me.
Yeah.
Like, single mom, but my dad.
But he was
my
around.
Guy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it was just like, but as I'm getting older and my sister, she's like, well, you know, dad was bipolar. No, I did not know. Mm. So, like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe he was on something, right? Yeah. Like, we waiting on a toxicology report. Maybe this will give me some form of, like...
And some closure, too.
That was what
and
I was
to like. Better understand yourself, too. Because we do come from that cloth, and we're like, is that part of my dad? Is that something exactly. that I took on?
That was
it's important to know.
Yeah, so all of that.
And don't listen to all the stuff the doctors tell you. You know what I'm saying? I went one time to a doctor, and I was feeling a certain type of way.
Yeah.
And she's like, how often do you feel sad?
Oh, my gosh.
And she leaves and comes back. She's like, I'm going to prescribe you da-da-da. It's an antidepressant. I said, you can have that. Thank you so much for my physical. Peace.
Wow.
I'm good. I have Jesus in my life.
I just told my wife today. I asked my wife today. I said, yo, what do they call the doctor who was last in his graduating class? Mm. She was like, what? They still call him doctor.
Yeah. Like, yes, that's scary.
That's really scary. So
that, like I said, that's opening a can of worms because there's a lot of research that I even have to do. But I've done a lot of things to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And there is a long line of depression in my family, and it's okay. Certain days that you're like, okay, I'm a little extra sensitive, or there's triggers, but I also don't have the same lifestyle she had.
Right.
You know, and I also, my nutrition is completely, we can't even compare. My mom's nutrition was Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, Coca-Cola.
She was living life.
She was living her best life. And mommy, like, what are you doing, you know? And I used to try to train her. I used to be a personal trainer, too.
Oh, snap.
But I'm happy we talked about that. That's very important. It's a huge part of 100%. Everything that I'm doing. But we need more platforms for that. Absolutely. Especially, we have to talk about it for minorities. We have
100%.
We need to be less like, go get some rest. Go drink a pill or whatever. Like, don't brush it off. Like, people have feelings.
Nah, and I'm with that.
My son's one of those kids that doesn't really talk about his feelings. I got to pay attention to the manifestations, to the actions, to, you know, things that he's doing. And lo and behold, there was a time where he was saying little things like clues, but not necessarily. Directly. And I'm like, oh my God, he's having anxiety.
Right.
Had to take him to, you know, get him seen, get him screened, make sure he's okay.
Of course.
But see, at that point, my son's dad is Black.
Yeah.
I'm Hispanic. And he had no idea.
Mm.
But I brought up the conversation. We figured it out. We got in sync with everything. My son's doing great.
Fire.
So there has to be a conversation about that.
Yeah.
That it's possible that your 5-6-year-old could be depressed and you have no idea. So,
let me ask you, as a mom, how do you balance this music career and be a mom?
I don't sleep enough.
How do you do that?
So he was born when I was 22.
Okay.
Remember I was telling you earlier, I was on tour at 21.
Wow.
Came back into town. Got pregnant. That was not the plan, but that was the plan for me, right? That's what God wanted for me. I'm going to tell you something. I was living recklessly before I had him, and I almost feel like he saved me.
That calmed you down.
Yeah, it calmed me down a lot, and I even stopped drinking alcohol.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's bad, you know, but it's...
You don't drink now?
No. Wow. And if I do, it's like, okay. I'm so lightweight. It's like one half shot. I'm one of those like... They're like, are you done? Wait, hold on. I drink the other half of one shot. It's terrible.
Wow.
I used to need it and want it all the time. I was even hungover when my mom passed. Wow. It was so bad. I was sick. On that topic, just wanted to mention, I spoke to her last that night. I didn't know. And I went home and got so drunk because that conversation was so intense. She was saying goodbye without me even knowing it. I didn't know. And the next day I wake up, it was something different about that day. I still didn't know it. And then I got the news. I was at work. We rushed to the hospital. And then, you know, we got the news. But I remember being, I was so sick to my stomach from the news.
Yeah.
But I was also sick to my stomach because I was drunk. And I didn't like that for myself.
Wow.
It just wasn't classy, one. And two, I have a child. Like, that's it. Like, I have to be more responsible. So a lot of those things changed. But where was I trying to go?
No. I was asking about balancing that, you being a mom and then being in this crazy entertainment space.
Look, health is the first thing. Yeah. Without health, there's no balance.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, you know, mental health is important. Trying to sleep when you can, eating well, exercising.
Yeah.
So time management is very important. So the balance is being disciplined.
Got it.
There's no balance, really. You're going to miss out on barbecues. You're going to miss out on your child's soccer game.
100%.
You're going to miss out on a dope-ass session because now you got to be at your child's soccer game because you missed it last time and it's the last. I mean, it's like you just have to say right now, if I die tomorrow, God forbid, which one's more important? Mm-hmm. Right now. Just based on your situation. So thankfully, God has made it where now stuff is beginning to really pop off. And I've gotten to see my son all these years and raise him all these years.
Wow.
So it's been really dope to see him evolve into the young man that he is. Now he's 14. So
this conversation went... This is why I don't prep questions, right?
This is crazy. We need another conversation after this conversation.
Because we ain't even talk music. So as I'm like going through music catalog and I'm listening to these songs, and shout out to Angel and Dee for really giving me the English version of some of these titles, and we like listening, and they like, you gonna be able to talk to her about relationships? Because we hearing some of these songs, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna ask her, like, what's up with these songs you writing? Talk to me about
typical relationship stuff that we all gotta go through.
So like, as a writer though, you have the freedom to, most people that I talk to that are writers, a lot of the perspective isn't really their life.
Mm-hmm.
How much of your records, this is you?
All of it is true.
That's all
of it.
True.
There's only one record, and shout outs to Jenny, my sister, my little sister. She told me about a situation where her ex was trying to get back with her.
Mm.
And all I remember was I took the key words. She said it in Spanish, but I'm going to say it in English for you. He thinks that by trying to give me a kiss, it's going to be enough for me to get back with him. And I said, oh my God, it's never enough. Whatever he does can never be enough for you to forgive him.
Mm.
And that's where Suficiente came from. And I feel like a lot of women feel that way. It's like, I mean, we always end up coming back a few times. And then we're like, no, no more. And that record, I literally hung up. I was driving. I was going to go home.
Yeah.
I was driving, I think, from the gym. And she tells me what she says because she wanted to spill the tea and gossip on my way home. We hang up, and I passed my house, went to a park, did loops around like my block, and just started. It started with "De repente quieres explicarme lo que sientes." Like, now all of a sudden you want to tell me how you feel,
and then when it's pinning it right there,
I was pinning everything she told me, and I wrote a song about my sister's story. So
wow,
I don't. One of the challenges of writing for other people is getting inside their head.
Mm.
And I've given that a break.
Got
because it. I feel like a lot of writers, and shout out, I think that's an amazing thing. Shout outs to all the artists right now that are independent and mainstream. They're now beginning to write more of their music. Mm. That's why you're kind of hearing music to be so raw and upfront.
They're
not as poetic anymore sometimes even, because now it's the brand. It's the artist. It's like their story. That's it. Yeah. There's only one way to tell it. You can't do circles around it. So I'm like here killing myself for an artist trying to write them the most poetic dope song, but they're like, no, I just want to say this, boom boom boom. I'm like, okay, right. I'm done.
Yeah,
let me just write my own music and put it out, because I could sing my ass off. Let's just do that. So I had to give that a break, because I can only talk about my story and deliver it the way I want.
I love that. What's your Mount Rushmore of song writers? Give me your top four songwriters of all time.
That I admire?
Yes. Only four. Because I know you can imagine me 10.
I'm going to give you two English. Oh, God. That's okay. Two English, just songwriters.
Songwriters.
Not overall producers.
I'm going to get to producers. I'm going to get to artists.
Okay. Oh, God, this is exciting, but it's so tough. English.
Okay.
Because he's the master of pop music.
Okay.
Max Martin.
Max Martin, okay.
That's and one. I think some of the biggest, like just in general, like contemporary pop records, and I mean popular music.
Yes.
It could be R&B, ballads, anything. Diane Warren.
Mm.
So those two. But like I said, you're limiting me, okay? Because there's a lot of...
Of course.
Obviously, Teddy Riley.
Okay.
I mean, and I'm working with him, obviously.
Legend.
Okay, so I can only choose one Spanish one now because I threw in Teddy Riley.
So give me one.
Teddy Riley also because of the stuff that he's done.
Oh, the body of work that is he's crazy. Made oh, of course.
In the culture, but it goes from like K-pop to, you know, the pop music, the R&B, the New Jack Swing, gospel. I love gospel. Mm. So I just have to say it's a little bit of all of that. But one of my all-time Latin songwriters, but I think it's mainly because he's also a performer and he's no longer here, is Juan Gabriel.
Okay.
So I'm sure you guys know Juan Gabriel. He's like, okay. You guys know who that is.
All right. So that's
just, ask your girl.
All right. So that's my wife. If I ask who's your favorite person, she gives me Celia Cruz all the time.
Celia Cruz. Oh, my God. See? But that's what I'm saying.
That's her.
Like, I could say Stevie Wonder.
It's a lot.
Aretha Frank.
All right. So, all right. So, so all right. Let's go producers.
Of all time?
Give me five. I'm giving you one extra each time.
Okay.
Five
so producers.
Favorite producers of all time.
Okay. Well, I already said Teddy, so I can't say Teddy again.
So,
can I?
So let's let him know he would be in two categories. But
most amazing songs. Most amazing favorite songs. But producers Timbaland.
Okay.
Missy.
Mm.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Missy, please work with me one day. So that's two.
Okay.
Two American. Three. Okay.
Well, two. We're gonna give Teddy a pass. We know he would fit in the category, but we already used him for songwriter. So we got Timbaland, we got Missy, we got three more.
Oh gosh. I gotta say some Spanish ones.
Ooh.
Some of my all time favorite. I love tropical music.
Okay.
And there's this artist who was also a producer. His name is Joe Arroyo.
Okay.
I'm sure if you heard the record that goes, Oye, men, no le pegue a la negra, no le pegue a la negra. It's a big song.
He's a producer.
Producer,
fire.
Artist, songwriter, entertainer. He's just crazy.
So that's three, two more.
Of course, Alicia Keys.
Mm.
She did huge things for us.
Mm.
I mean, I know she's not like way, 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 way back, but when I first heard Fallen and I heard that beat.
Yeah.
And I heard... Dun, 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 dun,
man, she really dun, don't dun, get dun, enough dun, credit dun, as a dun, producer.
For me, I saw her. I saw those smoky, slanted eyes on TV. And I said, who is she? And I need to know every song right now. And I remember my brother didn't even know that I found out about her. He was in New York at that time. I guess she was beginning to go viral, like on BET and everything. And he brings me back, I have to say, he brings me back a bootleg record. He didn't know who she was yet. He's like, oh, manita, I found this girl. She's so dope with the braids. Oh, she's dope. She's like you. She plays piano. Because at the time, I was so into like writing my music on the piano. And I hear songs in A minor.
Mm.
I knew every record. And I said, I want to be just like her.
Wow.
And honestly, I can't be just like her, but I am another her.
Wow.
And she is me. Like, we doing this for other female artists and producers, and I'm so excited that at one point I know I'll get to work with her. But I have to say she's a producer that I really look up to.
One more.
I'm going to say another female. I could say so many other people, but I got to say who's impacted me.
Let's do it.
Anita Baker.
Really?
I love Miss Baker. I love Miss Anita Baker. I could say a lot more.
I was just scary ass singers, but so you, okay, Anita Baker, Alicia Keys, okay, that's fine.
But this is where I get my, like, I gotta make my own music because it has to reflect something like that.
Got it.
It has to sound like what she gave me. I wanna inspire other people like how they inspired me.
Okay.
And there's no better way. Like, I start with a melody and now I'm matching the lyrics and now I'm recording it and now I'm mixing it.
That's fine.
And I'm sitting in these, you know, mastering sessions.
Yeah.
So I know my songs from A to Z. I know them.
All right, so I was going to say give me your favorite singers, but now I want to know dream collaborations.
Okay, I practiced for that one.
All right.
I know you were going to ask me that.
Dream question. Collaborations.
Of course, if I could in heaven have a collaboration with Michael Jackson, that would be amazing.
Michael Jackson, that's but, one. What else?
That's AI. Now we have AI, so we could do that. I think a dream collaboration be really dope. I don't know why. I love his sound. I love his vocals. Post Malone.
Really?
I love Post Malone.
Okay.
One of them already came true. I have to mention the name again, but Teddy Riley. It already happened. It's happening. What can I say?
That ain't a dream collaboration. That's one you checked off.
That is beginning. Yeah, I'm very excited about. Latin music, I would love to work with Tiny, the producer. I would love to work with him. He's so dope.
Why ain't heard his name? He's a legend.
He's a legend. He's already a legend. Wow. The stuff that he's doing is so... Shout outs to Lex Borrero, who's his team, who's, you know, obviously has managed him and has put him on.
Right.
But Tiny, you put yourself on because you deliver. Like, you deliver, and R&B, he's doing reggaeton. I mean, everything. He does it all. And I'm like, man, he gets it. Like, yeah. He gets where we're going.
Yeah.
We didn't have this type of crossover years ago.
Nah, I agree.
Now I could hit a run and a riff and Latin people understand it.
Right.
I know this is crazy and I'm nothing against it, but it's like I couldn't sing a gospel record or an R&B record because I was way too left field.
Mm.
Or I couldn't do a Latin song in English because it was you too Latin. Mm. Now it's like, you can listen to my album.
Well, I was going to ask that.
And just Spanglish and drill.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Like, when you think about, like, I always felt like there was this weird space of, like, I got a lot of friends in the Latin market, right? Mm-hmm. And they, like, always have this thing, like, I want to cross over into the American market. And I'm like, well, what is that?
Yeah.
What are you considering the American?
And now that's non-existent. Yeah. Now they want to cross over to us.
Yeah, freaking Bad Bunny's the biggest thing in the world.
It's crazy what's happening, but it's happening in every genre.
Yeah.
And it's happening in every language. Mm. And now I want to cross over to like Indian music. I would love to do a Bollywood song.
Mm.
And I am actually working with somebody. Shout out to Lady Pista. I have to say that.
Fire.
She's dope. She's a DJ / producer, songwriter. And we're doing a crossover.
Dope.
Right now, it's really dope sound. I don't want to give it away. Well, technically, she's giving it away a little bit because she's posted up some things. Someone you should interview for too as well. But yeah, she's...
Where do you see like the future of music going? Like, with all the integration, I wouldn't even say the future music. Give me this breakdown. What's your process in the studio?
I would put a beat behind that.
What is that?
Huh? That's the same one for me to wake up.
Oh, snap.
That's the same. Is that mine? Oh, God, it's mine.
Oh, I'm like, dude, it's like a lullaby.
Yes.
Angel, bring that. No, we don't cut. Bring that lullaby in here.
I was gonna make a beat out of it. I'm like, who has my alarm?
What's your process?
I have two phones, guys. We need to.
It's necessary. Everybody in this room got two phones. Everybody, pull your two phones out.
Right.
Angel got his two.
I got two.
D got two
phones.
But what's your like? Set the scene for me when you in the studio, right? Is it you by yourself? Is it got to be candles lit? Is the lights low? Is it stage?
The studios or my house studio? My home studio.
Your vibe when you writing.
I swear that if I'm in my room and I just happen to be like, something just comes up, pull up Splice. I pull up every software that I have and I lay down the idea. Mm. I don't even use voice note anymore.
Really?
I don't even believe in voice noting because I feel like it's like a kid. You know, kids say what they want or they jump on what they want. They mess up and they just scrape their knees. Like, that's their impulsivity. Is that a word or something? I feel like with music, when we don't think about it, you get its purest, you know, form. Mm. It's purest, like, thought. And I feel like with voice notes, we start hearing ourselves back. Oh, no, change it like this. I don't like doing any of that. I just put it on the mic, and then we comp it. And you know what I mean by comp?
Of course.
Chop, chop, chop. Trim, boom, fade, and we have a hit. That's what I meant to say. No one told me to go this way, that way with it. So that's my process at home. Got I don't it. Wait on anybody. I do like to dim the lights. I do like that. Light bothers me in general.
Okay.
It bothers me a lot.
And you under a bunch.
And lights, right? I hate lights. But I do like light and enlightenment. So I do like bright, you know, windows and rooms. But when I'm doing music, I do like it to be dim. When I go into a studio and I'm working with people, technically that's the only time, believe it or not, I go to a studio. I don't go to a studio to work for me.
Really?
I only work on my music from home. That whole record, that whole EP was recorded by me, mixed. at my house. There was only one song that we had to do some tweaks at Bay 8 Studios in Miami. Mm-hmm. But I recorded that in my room, and I mixed it, and I did all the effects, and I took it to Bay 8. That whole EP was done in my room.
How do you get to this hands-on approach?
I didn't want to wait on nobody else. Mm. I don't like it when people say they're going to do something and they don't.
Wow.
And I think it's in my nature. I feel like that's bullying. Like, I feel like when people, you know, like they feel like you're on their time. Mm. So I said something to myself. I promised myself when I work on my album, I'm inviting people. They're not inviting me. Hey, by the way, would you like to help me finish this beat? Hey, by the way, would you like to help me finish these lyrics? Hey, by the way, And that's how I got it done.
Fire.
I went for it, and it was all on my time. And then I was accountable for it, and I made some huge mistakes.
Got it.
Like, I learned a lot from doing it. But that's where I got hands-on. But the pandemic is what pushed me to do it.
Mm.
The pandemic. Feelings like, I'm like, oh, my God, I don't have no one to engineer me. Mm. I knew how to do it.
Right.
But I was so spoiled from being in studios. All right, go, you know, and I'll be in the booth.
Yeah.
Man, that was the best thing, Baron, that I could have done in my life as a musician.
Mm.
I'm so proud of what I've done. And
everything.
I got so many records now because of that.
What's your DAW of choice?
Logic.
Okay.
Because I started with GarageBand.
Okay, talk about it.
Those were the real ghetto days where I was
talk about it.
So I used to record on from the laptop speaker, yeah. You know, little laptop mic, because I couldn't afford a mic.
My God.
And I would still send demos like that. And people were like, what do you record from? You sound so good. I'm like, oh.
If only they knew.
You sure you want to know?
Really?
And it was from the laptop. And then right before the pandemic was around the time I got signed, I said, all right, I'm going to allocate some of the money, you know, that I got into equipment. So I ran to Guitar Center. They were going to close down COVID like a week later. They're like, hey, we're closing. We got these sales. Bought everything dirt cheap because that's it. Like, they're like, oh, my God, the world's coming to an end. Everybody was so, you know, panicky. But I got me my speakers. I got me my laptop, my mic, everything.
Wow.
All my chords, things I needed. I got my Logic. I got Waves. I got everything that I needed that I'm like, what do I need that y'all be using? I called up every producer. So what do you use in my voice? What kind of preset is that?
Yeah.
Started looking on YouTube. I wanted it though.
Mm.
You need to want it, you know, and you need to want to say, I want to be better than that person, or I want to be as good as that person. But that's when you do it yourself. So
where's my camera that can see me?
That's what
so all these musicians out here that I keep trying to tell y'all, every music artist need a home studio. You need, it's vital. A lot of records I've produced, written, all because I can roll out of bed and just go do them real quick. So
game changer.
It's a
everyday real game changer.
Just hearing you say GarageBand, I'm like, oh, I knew that automatically came on the MacBooks.
Oh, wait. And here's the best part. I paid for the sessions when I went to go mix these records.
Mm.
And I, as the label, recorded my vocals in my house, my label.
Fire.
I own the masters. I have all the stems. I have everything. They're mine, you know?
These artists are spoiled.
I get to, you know, something I'm really big on is split sheets. So before the record registered, yep.
Talk about it.
Hey, are you good with Equal? Okay, boom. You're not good with Equal. Why? Oh, because I did more of this. All right, cool. Let me talk about it to the other person. It's okay.
Wow.
Don't be afraid to talk about it. Just get it done.
Oh,
she's
dropping gems talking split sheets. This is so important.
Before I leave a room, even in camps, I ask, is everybody okay with even split?
Yeah.
If you walked in late, then we got to have a conversation because you only did a couple words.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to have 33, 30, 33, 25, right. 25, 25, 25. You know, you don't deserve an even split. You walked in and did the whole hook. Okay, maybe there's an exception because that's the meat and potatoes of a song. But guys, it's important because right now it's not a hit. But when it becomes a hit and money is involved, everybody's attitude changes. oh, but I wrote the hook. Oh, but I did this. Oh, but I deserve 50. Why all of a sudden you care?
Mm.
You should have cared from day one.
Mm.
So with that being said, I always say, just in case the song hits, and listen, sometimes there's been artists where the song hit on the other side of the world and the registration wasn't done correctly. And when you have somebody run your royalties, find out where your names are, you find out they've been collecting. Everybody else has been collecting music but you. Why?
Mm.
So it's important to talk about how much your share is And then so that way, if the song's being played over and over on Disney or Nickelodeon or Netflix, you're getting a quarterly check.
Wow.
But you're not, because you don't care and you're afraid to do business. You just want to do music. So that's okay. You don't want to make money, don't make money. You want to just sound good, that's cool. That's why I asked, that's why I said that from the very beginning. What's your goal?
Mm.
Do you want to make money? Do you want to be massive with it? Or do you just kind of want to, you know?
Hobbyist.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I've sacrificed so much for this. So I'm going to ask you, are you okay with this split sheet?
100%.
Because it got to go into my ASCAP, into my, you know, because now I have Universal helping me make sure.
Right.
And that's what publishers are supposed to do. So
what's one
I don't play that
piece of advice you can leave for our people that's like, man, I like that she signed as a songwriter, but she's still free to release her own music. What piece of advice can you give? I would say to anybody that's even looking to step foot into this tough waters of the music industry.
Everything is tough.
Yeah.
Everything has its risk. I feel like it's almost like someone you love. What's the difference between this person and last or the next, right?
Mm.
It's like this person that you're willing to fight for, sacrifice for, are they worth it? Mm. Like, do you love them all the way to say, ah, but I'll do it for them. Ah, but I'll change a little bit for them. Ah, but I'll bend back a little bit for them. Like, are they worth it? Mm. You know? And I feel like with music, it's like anything else. If you're a dentist, if you're a lawyer, if whatever, if you're a teacher, are you willing to sacrifice and work hard for something that you love? Because that's where you want to go.
Yeah.
With music, I've looked at it like, yeah, it's shitty sometimes, but I love it so much. I don't know what I would do without it.
Mm.
So it's like, instead of complaining, what do I need to do extra to get where I want to go? So my advice is educate yourself. Ask the right questions. Of course, then the question is, well, what do I ask? Well, ask, how do you make money doing music? That's the first.
Right.
Because if you're going to be doing this when you're 30, that means you're going to have a wife and kids by then.
Facts.
So you got to think of how to fill the fridge. So how do you make money doing music? So my advice is, if you go into music because you love it, that's one thing. But when you build a relationship, you don't just give, give, give. They got to bring something to the table too.
100%.
Like, you guys plan together, you build together. I'm not talking about the girl got to give you money. It's an expectation. Like, we do this together, right?
Right.
So with music, it's not just going to come to you. You got to educate yourself and really invest yourself in knowing how the business runs. How does a label run? What is a manager? What is a publisher? You know, who pays you? So, like, who pays you right now doing this?
Yeah.
Like, how it, in the end, how is it going to get to the point where your time right now, how is it going to pay you, right?
Yeah.
So with everything, find out how it works.
Right.
That's my advice. Like, just really ask questions. Ask around. If you're working with an artist or a producer that's placing records, ask the question, hey, how did you get here?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm working with United Masters. Shout out to United Masters. I don't know. I don't work
with them. She giving y'all free plugs.
I don't know. Right. I wanted to work with y'all.
Yeah.
I had a TikTok campaign that might have gotten plays, but it didn't. So, but that's important, is really knowing your craft, whichever it is.
Yeah.
If you're not working hard, somebody else is taking that check.
Mm.
Somebody else is doing that. If you're not signing that split sheet, somebody else is going to get that cut for you.
Yeah.
And that'll be the label.
Mm.
So do you want to give the label your money? So know your stuff, guys. If you're going to go into music, be yourself, stay true, but really, you know, just invest in your craft.
Facts.
That's it.
Yo. You've been tuned into another episode of the Everyday Game Changers podcast. Scott Monroe, thank you.
Thank you.
For your insight, this conversation.
That's amazing.
I told you we didn't need to write no questions. You knew this was a vibe.
But you shocked me today.
Let's do it, man. You know how we do, man.
Hey,
thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you.
I would love to come back again. Everyday Game Changers, thank you so much for having me. Scott Monroe, we out.
Thanks for listening to the Everyday Game Changers podcast with Barry and McQueen. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review. Follow us on Instagram at Everyday Game Changers or on our official website, www.everydaygamechangers.com.